in HD2. Come on in, we've been expecting you. Catch the wave.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm blessed. You know why, cut? We got our eyes to
remembrance these things that I have told you. Jesus promised that, and in the book of Acts we find that on the day of Pentecost, the disciples was in the upper room waiting on the promise of the Lord. And I can see the disciples as they fell down on their knees and began to cry out to the Lord these words.
Oh.
Because he cares for me. 19 minutes after the hour. And as we give God the praise, the glory, and the honor, and want to thank all of you for catching the wave that's going down memory lane. That's the late great, and many of you know, we'll certainly miss that voice, Mr. Darryl Cody, an awesome artist, songwriter, and what a singster he was. Mr. Darryl Cody, he is preparing me for what's about to take place in my life. And many of you today, he's already preparing you for what he's about to use you for, his glory. And some of you know what I'm talking about on this wonderful day. Look, once again, want to thank all of you and those of you for your very first time. You can catch the wave right here 7 days a week. That's Mondays through Sundays from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. Play the old, the new quartet and contemporary Christian station in the world. We are right here from the studios in Raleigh, North Carolina, the NFI Radio Gospel Network, and you can join us on our Facebook page at NFI Radio Gospel Network Live, and you can join us on our website live at NFIRadio.com. Again, our website, NFIRadio.com, and on Facebook Live is NFI Radio Gospel Network. Let's continue with more great gospel music. We are right at 21 minutes after the hour, giving God the praise, the glory, and the honor.
Fix it. moving. When the Lord get ready for you, you got to move. Oh, we gonna sing this for mom and pop and myself. This is, come on, fellas. Come on, put your hands. Oh, they don't sing like this no more.
Right at the bottom of the hour, and certainly as we give God the praise through songs and the word of God, that's the sounds of the late, great Mr. Willie Neil Johnson and those gospel keynotes. When the Lord get ready, you got to move. We'll be right back. Got more of the very best. and gospel music coming your way right here on the NFI Radio Gospel Network right after this.
You're in the mix in HD2 sound with tight acoustic bass. It's the NFI giving God the praise.
Lord, I thank you for what you've done for me. Lord, how you died on Calvary. Save my soul, made me whole. Show me things I didn't know. And I'm glad I got it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on, come on and clap your hand. For how you kept blessing me, Lord, when my friends, they turned their backs on me. Save my soul, made me whole. Show me things I didn't know. And I'm glad that I got the victory. Come on, if you know it's been good, somebody wave your hand.
children. Lord, Lord, do it. Do it for me. I believe I'll say it again. If you get in trouble, you can say, Lord, do it. Cause we know you to be a way maker today. If you're sick, you can say, Lord, do it.
Lord, do it for me.
Because we know you're a doctor. Heart is heavy, you can say, Lord, Lord, do it. Mm-hmm. Do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Please, sir, right now. Mm-hmm. If you read your Bible, you read the story. About the man that could not see. Hallelujah. But he heard that Jesus was coming by. He just inched his way along and cried out, Jesus, lay your hands. Please lay your hands on me. Mm-hmm. And I heard the blind man say, I know you can do it. Thank you. You took two little fish and five loaves of bread and fed 5,000. I know you can do it. Oh, yes, you can. You went to the graveyard one day and told a dead man to get up. I know you can do it. I know you can do it. I know you can do it. So here's my little problem, Jesus. Fix it for me right now.
Oh,
I'm gonna ask you one more time, cause I know you can do it, Master. I know you can do it. You went to a wedding one night and turned water into wine. I know you can do it. And then you went one Friday and above all Calvary and died for my sins. I know you can do it, Master. I know you can do it. So please
do it for me
right now. Mm-hmm. Do it for me. Right now. You see, when you ask the Lord to do something for you, he can move in a hurry. Do it for me. While I'm still singing, do it for me. Right now. Yes, sir.
Ten minutes before the top of the hour, and going down memory lane, that's the late, great Reverend James Cleveland. Lord, do it for me. Once again, want to thank all of you or catching the wave on this glorious day as we give God the praise through songs and the Word of God. And we want you to give us a call if you have a request, and we do get phone calls, and we certainly thank you for calling us to let us know that you're enjoying the very best in gospel music as well as your request. We try to play it for you. And look, you can join us right here. That's 7 days a week, 12 hours a day from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. simply by joining us on our website, nfiradio.com. Or you can join us on Facebook Live as well, simply by going to NFI Radio Gospel Network. We do have a television broadcast that airs every Friday morning at 6 a.m. to 6:30 a.m., covering most of all of North Carolina. It's on Spectrum TV Channel 24, where you can lock in and catch the wave for the top 10 video countdown of the month. And you do not want to miss this Friday's broadcast. We got some music for you. So those of you, if you want to catch the wave, be sure to tune in every Friday morning, 6 a.m. to 6:30 a.m. on our television broadcast, Spectrum TV Channel 24. And you can also join us every Friday night at 9 p.m. to 10 p.m., 1 hour prime time, on RTN 22. That's Raleigh Television Network 22. Two different stations, twice a day, 6 a.m. in the morning and 9 p.m. at night. 6 on that Spectrum TV 24, 9 at RTN 22. For the top 10 video countdown of the month, you are catching the wave now. Let's continue with more of the very best in gospel music.
Many times in our life, when we do all we can to do what's right, we have to lay awake and cry all night long, but the Lord will help us win the fight.
Lord,
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 thinking about all the things that's happening for me. I'm gonna keep my head in Jesus' hand. After a while, he promised to set me free. Laugh in the face if you wanna talk about me behind my back. It really don't make no difference to me. No, no, no. I'm praising a man who died from the sixth to the ninth hour. He promised me faithful, he was coming back. All I got to do is go. Lord, don't let nobody stop me.
Thank you. This is Michael Booker from Greensboro, North Carolina, and you're listening to the NFI Radio Gospel Network in Raleigh, North Carolina. Catch the wave.
Catch the wave on the NFI. NFI. North Carolina. Georgia. California. New York. Seattle, Washington, around the world, in studio, NFI Radio Gospel Network, the number one quartet station in the world.
Hello, I'm Robert Davis with Disability Claiming Consultants. Are you sick or been injured on your job and tried to get your disability benefits through Social Security and been denied? Don't get frustrated. There's help for you. For over 30 years, I have helped over 1,000 people throughout North Carolina get their benefits they deserve. Give me a call today at 252-492-8715. Again, help you can count on. Call me, 252-492-8715. Thank you.
You're listening to The Anointed One, and you can catch the wave right here at NFIRadio.com. Now, let's get back with more great gospel music. You are catching the wave.
Don't care who knows you got the Holy Ghost.
catch the wave on the NF line.
Twenty minutes after the hour, you're catching the wave. Again, want to thank you for locking in. Going back down memory lane, that's the late great Mr. Sam Cooke and those Soul Stirrers. You guys remember them, huh? Oh, yeah. Well, look, you're around my age. Well, you definitely will remember that one, huh? Okay. Well, look, we've got more just like that coming your way. Once again, want to thank all of you so much for catching the wave. We are in our fifth year right here from Raleigh, North Carolina, in the studios of the NFI, and what an awesome time we're having. Want to thank all of you for your kind words and messages that you send through Facebook, email. Those of you we see in restaurants, and those of you we certainly appreciate and thank you for showing forth your love, and we're going to show forth ours back to you. And for those of you, if you don't know, this network is not a normal network. We are concerned about man and woman, soul and spirit, that we may compel them to come to Christ. We're not about competition or compromise, and we're about doing the will of the Lord, and that is to win souls for the glory of God. All right, well, look, we're going to continue with more great gospel music. Got some great news for you. Going to share that with you a little later on in the broadcast. But now, let's continue with more of the very past in gospel music here from the NFI Studios, Raleigh, North Carolina.
Morning, he's going in the evening too, all through the night. blessing, blessing your way. What would I do?
what would I do? Tell me what would I do? If it were not for you, I want you to know tonight. Yeah, yeah. Lord, you did everything. Lord, you did everything. Every little thing of me. Oh, thank you right now. Thank you right now, Lord. You know one thing. Mm-hmm. You my water. Lord, have mercy.
May we shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is Apostle Barbara Watkins coming to you from Lewisburg, North Carolina, Christian Life Church of God, Inc., along with
Co-Pastor Gladys Smith. We invite you to join us on Tuesdays from 9:30 to 10 o'clock a.m. and on Thursdays from 1 o'clock to 1:30 p.m., where we teach the Word of God and we enjoy the Word of God. Join us.
He's a God that keeps his promise. He's a God that can't lie. He's a God that's never late, no matter how long it takes. Don't give up on his promise. Just keep the faith.
Not trusting that it's going to take place.
It's on the way.
Whatever you need, tell somebody.
It's on the way.
It'll never be
your blessing. It's on the way.
Just may not come when you want.
It's on the way.
But you gotta wait.
Your blessing. It's on the way.
Just because it didn't come.
It's on the way.
Don't mean it's
your
not
blessing.
Coming.
It's on the way.
Just ain't your time.
Everything.
Everything.
Why don't you collapse those hands?
Everybody in the building, clap those hands. If you know who brought you, I want you to know that. God is
everything.
God is
everything.
God is
everything.
We believe
everything.
That God
everything.
Five loaves of bread
everything.
And 5,000 hungry soldiers fed. That lets me know
everything.
That he's bread in a starving land.
Everything.
That you know he is
everything.
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 Wave your hand.
Everything.
Wave your hand. Tell somebody God he is.
Something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised that he'd open all of heaven. And brother, it could happen any day.
Thanks for listening. And now let's join Elder Carrie Harris, pastor of Word of Deliverance Ministry, Raleigh, North Carolina. Good evening, Pastor.
Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. To God be the glory for all he has done. I thank God that we are back here on this beautiful Tuesday. It's cloudy, but I tell you what, this cloud make it feel good because it's not as hot as it has been. And I just thank God for that. Oh, come worship the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. I was glad when he said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Today we're going to read a little bit out of the book of Jeremiah. And we're going to start reading at the first verse, the word of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in the Anatol, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a priest unto the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, even as I open my mouth to talk today, Lord, open the spiritual ears that we can hear what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name, Father, we glorify your name and we honor your name because we know that you are holy and you love us. So help us to open our ears and hear plainly what you have to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. I just feel like something good is about to happen. I feel like something good is on its way. He promised that he'd open all of heaven, and it could be in a day. Today we're not gonna preach. We're just gonna talk about some things that a lot of people call controversial. But I don't back up off of controversial. I say what the Lord say. And if we say what he say, we have a good backing. Because you got to understand, the devil knows scripture too. Because when he was created, he wasn't Satan, he was Lucifer, an angel. And God created the angels. He didn't create Lucifer. He didn't create the devil. He created Lucifer that turned himself into the devil through disobedience. And we sometimes hear what the Lord has to say, but then we decide we're going to do things our way. The first thing we're going to talk about, if you notice, I read how the Lord was talking to Jeremiah, and he told him, I knew you before you was even in your mother's womb. So if he knew Jeremiah before he was in the womb, he knew him while he was in the womb, and he knew him when he came forth out of the womb, then that means he was a human being while he was in the womb. And it didn't say, well, you were something else and then you changed into a baby just before you was born. It didn't say that. He knew him because, understand this, God didn't create anything after the sixth day. Because on the seventh day, he rested. And we, as human beings, were created on day six. Now, the ones that's living here on earth now was created as spirit beings. When God created Adam and breathed into him the breath of life, it said man became a living soul. So at that time, all human beings, the human race was created. And when a mother becomes pregnant, God puts a spirit in that woman's womb that's then a human being. Okay, now. So if God created that person as a human being, I know this is controversial because people don't like to talk about it because they say, well, some say, well, I've already had an abortion. How's God going to deal with that? I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you. If you ask him to forgive you, because you didn't know any better at the time, he will forgive you. If you just don't decide, well, I'm just going to have, I know he'll forgive me now, so I got pregnant again, so I'm going to have another abortion. But see, he don't hold you for what you don't know. But once you learn better, you have to do better. So when you have an abortion, that's called murder, because you killed a human being. See, God had a plan for Jeremiah's life before Jeremiah was put into the womb. He said he called him to be a prophet even before he was in the womb. And he said, I'm going to send you forth. You go to the nations and don't be afraid. Just go ahead. So don't murder anymore, baby. See, we have to call it what it is. It is murder. If it's a human and you kill it, it is murder. I don't care where that starts from second one or day one, week one, or whichever, please don't kill the babies. All right. So how do we go get around abortions and stuff? We just don't sleep around. And see, I know a lot of times, young ladies don't have father and a mother that's married to each other, that live together. When the father is out of the home and she doesn't have anything to relate to as to how a father and a mother work, then she goes out looking for love in all the wrong places. But what I would advise you to do, and every parent should get the book that Steve Harvey wrote. It's entitled Act Like a Lady, But Think Like a Man. See, men will do what they can get away with. If you let them live with you and live in your house with you for years and don't put a ring on your finger, they will do it because they perfectly satisfied, you know, to do that. Now, there are men that love the Lord, and they know what God wants them to do, and they want to please the Lord. Young ladies, please wait till one of those men come along and find you. And because the word says, he that found a wife found a good thing. Don't go out looking for no man. Let the man find you. Tell the Lord exactly what kind of man you want. Make a list. All of the qualities that you want in a man. Make a list. Tell if you want him tall, tell the Lord, Lord, I want a tall man. I want a man with a good job. Some women love heavy men. Lord, I want a heavy man. You tell him all of that. You can even tell him what complexion you want, what race you want. You can tell him all of that. God is listening, and he knows where everybody on earth is. And when you tell him that, then you wait, and while you are waiting, you don't just go somewhere and sit down and say, well, I'm going to wait for that man that God has sent me. What you do is be ready, preparing yourself to be a wife. Learn to be a good listener. When you, your husband is talking to you, listen to what he is saying. Because most of the time, men and women can say the same thing, but the other one hears something different. And then you repeat back to them, say, well, did you say this or did you say that? Tell me what you meant by that. But please listen to what your husband has to say. And then, husband, listen to your wife. Don't assume that because her mouth is open, she's just complaining and that she wants you to take care of a problem. Because, see, men are hunters. They love to hunt. They love to fix things. They are providers. That's what men are. And they like to, when we tell them a problem, we're talking and we're not complaining. We just want somebody to bounce stuff off. We don't necessarily want you to fix it. We just want you to listen and sympathize with us. And then, husbands, Don't just wait for your wife to stop talking so you can start. Listen to what she's saying. And wives, don't just wait for your husbands to stop talking so you can jump in. Don't just brush it aside, but just wait for him to stop talking and then ask him questions about what he said so that he will understand that you heard him, because there's nothing worse than walking away from a person and thinking, well, they don't even understand what it is I'm talking about. So please listen to your husbands and listen to your wives. And then just don't, teenagers, don't just go sleeping around. And I'm talking to men first, because, see, the young men, the young guys, these 16, 17, and I admit they're doing it earlier than that now, they just go hop in the sack with the first person that comes along. But you are not ready to take care of a baby. You don't have the experience. You don't have what it takes to be a parent. Children, you need to parent children. You need to be able to listen to, we're going back to listening. Listen to what your child is saying. And then talk to them about it. Don't condemn everything that come out of that child's mouth. Because if you do, that child will shut down and won't share anything. You won't know what's going on with your child if you don't listen to what they're saying. And don't just go hop in the sack with the first person that come along. If go try to find a woman like your grandmama, I'm going to say, because usually the grandmama is, she's usually clean, a clean, wholesome woman. And that's what you need to look for. If a woman come up in your face half dressed, don't have on enough clothes, a dress is so short she can't even bend over, and eyebrows so long that she slap you upside the head when you walk up to her, then that's not the kind of woman that you need to be looking for. And if this girl jump in the sack with you first time she see you, the next guy that come along, she's going to do the same thing with him. You won't be able to trust her. And young lady, if this young man try to hop in the sack with you as soon as you meet him, understand that when he leaves you, the next young lady he sees, he's going to go jump off on her. You want somebody that you can trust, that you can tell anything to. And this for the women and the men. You want somebody in your life that you can tell your deepest, darkest secret and know it's not going anywhere any further than them. And then if this guy or this girl is not the kind of person you look for, don't keep dating them, because dating is to get to know a person to know whether your personalities will match. Because you can find a good, wholesome girl or a good, wholesome guy, and your personalities don't match, and you won't get along. But when you find when somebody finds you, ladies, and y'all's personalities match, it'll be a good thing. Now, my last husband, we got along great. I mean, now I won't tell you that he was perfect, but out of 30 years, I guess we had maybe 7 or 8 arguments, and they were, and it was just a disagreement. And we got along very well, and we constantly said to each other, "I love you." When we walked out of the house in the morning, and say, "I love you." When we see each other in the evening time, we would say, "I love you." And I would always tell him, "Wow, you got some big shoulders. I like that." You know, compliment the man and make him feel like he's 10 feet tall. And don't just get up in the morning and not comb your hair. And put on some decent clothes. If you're going to walk around the house, have on look nice for him. I've known the time, and at the time when I was young, I really didn't wear makeup. But my husband liked makeup. I've known the time that I've got up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and put on full-face makeup because I knew that that's what he liked. I knew that if he wasn't getting what he wanted home, he was going somewhere else to find what he wanted. See, that's what my mama told me. Give your husband what he wants. And I made up in my mind that that's what I would do. And this thing of saying, no, I'm mad with you, so no, I'm mad with you, so that's all you get for the day. I'm mad. No, uh-uh. Your body don't belong to you. The Bible says your body does not belong to you. It belongs to your spouse. And that same thing goes for your husband. His body does not belong to him. It belongs to you. So we need to understand that, and we need to do what we need to do to keep a marriage sacred. Once you get married, you don't need to go somewhere and look grinning up in somebody else's face. And I'm talking to the men and the women. You don't need to go somewhere grinning up in somebody else's face. Then let's talk about foster children for a minute. Foster children. Children that, for one reason or another, can't stay at their home. Sometimes maybe their parent died. Maybe they didn't have but one parent and that parent died. Or maybe their parents were alcoholics and they were taken by the county. Or whatever the reason was. And you decide, now I can't be a foster parent ever again. I can't do it. Because you see, when my children came up for adoption, I couldn't give them back. I kept them all except one. I kept all of the foster children that I had except one. So I adopted three. I couldn't give them back, so I'm not a good candidate for a foster parent. But what I can do is I can be a rested parent. Maybe a foster family want to some time by themselves, and they can't afford a babysitter. And then they can come and spend a day or two with you. And let me tell you what foster children need. I hugged my children a lot. I told them how special they are. I told them, yeah, sometimes you do some bad things, but that doesn't make you a bad person. It means you did something wrong, and adults do wrong things sometimes too. But I kiss my children a lot. I hug them a lot. I pray with my children. And then when they came up for adoption, I couldn't let them go. So be sure, if you decide to become a foster parent, be sure you're one of those parents that can keep your child a year, two, three, and then let somebody else adopt them. But they've gotten used to you. And don't think that that foster child is going to be perfect, because they're not. They've gone through a lot of stuff before they got to you. I had a young lady that had been raped by a family member several times. And why it happened, nobody knows. I had one child that used to see her, his birth mother have Uncle Tom in her room tonight. And the next night he saw Uncle John in there. And then it was Ted in there. And he saw all of this stuff. And while they were in the room, he was sitting right beside her bedroom door. So he had heard a lot of stuff that he didn't need to hear. And he turned 6 the day before I got him. And so you have to be patient with them. You have to be very patient with them. And you know, the amazing thing is we have the wrong idea of what foster children look like. Because, you know, I know it's stupid. Looking back, it's stupid. But I thought people that go into foster care with some hard little ugly children with snotty nose. But the first little boy that came to me, oh, he was so pretty. I got angry that somebody could treat a child in a way that I thought they shouldn't treat him. But then I got to learn the birth mother. She was a beautiful lady, and she loved her son. But she didn't know how to parent because nobody had parented her. And she wound up loving me, and I loved her. And her child came up for adoption. And so I told her, I said, but I want him. I don't want nobody else to have him. So she went down to social services and signed the papers so that I could adopt him. And once she signed the papers, nobody but me and my husband could adopt him. And today he's in his 30s, and he's still handsome. And then 2 girls came to me, and she's in her 30s. I kept one of them, and I didn't keep the other one because she thought it was okay to cuss my husband out, and I don't have no female cussing my husband. Not even his mother. I didn't allow it. And her sister wanted her to go with her when she had to leave. But she said, no, I'm loved here. So I'm going to stay here. But each one of my children, I told our birth parent, I'm going to adopt these kids. But what I want is you to stay in their life. They need to know who you are. You need to come visit them. You need to come spend time with them. Because, see, they love me, but they love you too. They will, if you come to visit them, they won't feel that abandonment. Well, my little girl, she didn't know her daddy until she had been at my house. She must have been about 13 or 14 years old. It's when she actually met her birth father. And she had told me, she said, Mom, said, I got a big nose. I said, honey, I said, but your nose looks nice on your face. I said, you would look funny with a little bitty nose. I said, but you're cute. The nose that you have make you really cute. And she said, does it? I said, mm-hmm. And then when she met her daddy, she saw her nose was just like his. And she was so excited because she had a nose like somebody. She could look at somebody and see that she was like them. But I'm going to shut that down for the day, but remember, foster children, take them in if you can't be a full-time foster parent, be a respite parent. There's a lot of paperwork and stuff to go through, but be a respite parent. Somebody's going to take somebody in. And by the way, if you're going to be a foster parent, don't go on vacation and put your child in respite. If you can't afford to take that child, just don't even go on vacation. just wait and save up some money because they feel left behind. And especially if you've got children of your own and you're going to take them and leave the foster child, that's not fair. Don't do it. I didn't go on vacation unless my children could go. I counted them as mine when they were foster children. I already had claimed them. But don't just leave the children behind. Now, that's the word for the day. Now, let us pray. Our Father and our God, Lord, I just thank you, hallelujah, for this opportunity. I know a lot of things I said was maybe controversial, but, Lord, I said what you put in my spirit to say. And then, Lord, I thank you for the ear that listened. Lord, remember Reverend Thurlin Kearney and bless him in a mighty way. We thank him, Lord, for putting this platform out here for us to be able to talk to people. Then, Lord, bless Reverend Robert E. Ellison in the name of Jesus. Lord, remember, hallelujah, my pastor, Pastor Adrian Richardson, God, and his little wife. Lord, I thank you for him. And, Lord, I ask you to bless him in a special way. And in my whole church family, hallelujah, Elder Doris Sutton and her husband and all of the other Suttons in my church, my home church, God, and not just the Suttons, but everybody that's in my home church, Lord, I ask you to bless them in a mighty way. Oh, God, remember Apostle May Godfrey, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, remember my niece, Sister Patricia Jarnigan, in the name of Jesus and her children, God. Oh, God, you sent a mighty blessing on them. And, Lord, remember my niece, Dr. Lee Morgan, God. Bless her, God, in the name of Jesus. And then, Lord, hallelujah, Lord, go into the prisons. Hallelujah, to the nursing homes and to the hospitals. Lord, is somebody in all of those places that need you, and I glorify you. Lord, remember my former bishop, Bishop Acock, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, and my present bishop, Bishop Hood, in the name of Jesus. And I said, Lord, thank you. We glorify you. We praise you, Lord. We do honor you, oh, God, in Jesus' name. Oh, and Apostle Barbara Watkins, Lord, I lift her up to you today, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you next week, if the Lord says so, right back here on the NFI, Gospel Radio Network. Catch the wave, everybody. Bye-bye.
Something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised that he opened all of heaven. And brother, it could happen any day.
You've been listening to Elder Carrie Harris, pastor of Word of Deliverance Ministry radio broadcast. Be sure to tune in every Tuesday from 1 o'clock p.m. until 1:30 p.m. here on the NFI Radio Gospel Network.
And brother, this could be that very day. I have learned in all that happened just to praise him. For I know he's working all things for my good. Every tear I shed is worth all the investment. I know he'll see me through. He said he would. He has promised. I know ear can hardly fathom all the things he has in store for those who pray. I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, just feel like something.
promised that he'd open all of heaven. And brother, it could happen any day. When God's people humble themselves and call on Jesus, and they look to heaven expecting as they
you know, Todd, I've noticed all the bad news in the paper.
I have two bills. Seem like things are getting bleaker. Oh, but for the child of God, it makes no difference.
And here's the good news. Things are bound to get better.
Today we're going to meet with Jesus, and I just want to tell you, I want to ask you a question too. Ain't it sweet? Just to know, yes sir. Ain't it sweet? Just to know. One day we'll meet. I'm talking about Jesus. Yes, sir. You know what? And that's sweet. By and by, we'll meet together. Yes, sir. Thank you, Jesus. Ain't it sweet? Just to know. One day. Reverend Brown, what do you have to say about it? Reverend Brown, I want to help you say it.
Ain't it
I just like to repeat and go over the story of the five wise and five foolish virgins. The Bible said there were 10 of them, all of them virgins. But one of the ways that showed the difference, five of them were wise and five were foolish. They all got an invitation to go out to meet the bridegroom. The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But the foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Tell me they all went out and they began to slumber and sleep. But at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom comes. Go ye out to meet him. And tell me all the virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. But there was a sad thing when five of them came running and came to the other five and said, give us of your oil. I hear them say, what's wrong? Our lamps have gone out. But the five wise said, not so, unless there be not enough for us indeed. I can hear him saying in my mind, if I share with you, all of us is going to be lost. But go rather to him that said, and buy for yourself. And tell me when they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. But after a while, the other five came. And in my mind, I could hear them knocking on the door, saying, open to us. But the master said, not so. I'm plain open to you. Said, depart from me. I don't know nothing about you. Jesus told us. Said, this is a demonstration of how it will be in the last day. Said, be ye also ready, for you don't know not the minute of the hour wherein the Son of Man shall come. And I just want to ask you, Reverend Brown, since I've done all this talking, maybe you have something that you want to say. Yes, sir. What do you say about it?
I won't.
Know what you're talking about. But Reverend Brown, I just want to say, I read about the five foolish and the five wise virgins. and I also heard your testimony. But I have a little testimony that I want to give of my own. And I'm going to pray that mine go just like yours. So since our testimony is so close together, you don't mind if I help you testify this time.
I want to be ready.
Again, Lord, now for a long time, and that song means so much to me because that song is a prayer. But I want you to know that we didn't only just say it's me again, Lord, with a prayer and need an answer, but God answered that prayer. And right now, we just want to take our time. Now, we don't want to talk to you out there, but we just want to tell God we thank him for answering my prayer. That's all we want to do. Break it down. We want to take our time and do this. Hallelujah.
It's me again, Lord. I want to thank you for answering my prayer.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
It's me again, Lord. When I was troubled,
good part about it. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
When I was praying, you answered my call, held my hand, and didn't let me fall. Lord, I know you're my all in all. It's me again, Lord, yeah. It's me again, Lord.
Take your time.
I want to thank you for being so good.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
It's me again, Lord.
Yes, sir.
In my failure,
God, I'm a mistake.
You understood.
Yes, he does. He understands things.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For all you've done.
Yeah, Lord.
You helped me to overcome.
Keep me, Jesus.
I want to thank you for healing my pain.
God, move that pain. He'll do it for you, too.
You saved my soul.
He saved me.
And my life.
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
Hallelujah. One day he died.
Lord, you died.
Hallelujah.
On Calvary.
For a sinner like me.
Just to say.
Hallelujah.
A sinner like me.
Thank you, Lord.
It's me again, Lord. When
so many wonderful things about him. He's all right, ain't he? Yes, sir.
There are so many wonderful things about Jesus.